Yo, what's happening, everybody? It is your boy Earth Mac, the Mad Scientist.
And Vivo.
This is Anime Breakdown Live. This is the Orange Phoenix Show. Vivo, how are you today on this fine Monday evening?
I'm tired, and there's not enough hours in the day, the week, or the year for me to be asleep to catch up.
Yo, like, can you believe it's March already?
I need it, like, to be summer right now.
Like, it's March already, man. Like, yesterday, it was New Year's. Like, that's how fast this year is going. Like, it's freaking crazy. But
yeah,
pollen is in the air.
I don't have those allergy problems. I'm sorry for all of those of you that do. I really feel for you. I'm sorry.
I'm one of them.
You better take your Claritin D and call it a day.
Listen, I got Claritin, I got Cetirizine, which is Zyrtec. I got, like, nasal spray. I got, like, eye drops. Like, it's crazy. The moment I saw that powdery spawn of Satan on my car.
you gotta get ready for wars. As soon as
easily.
End of February, March.
Easily. I think I went to the store and it wasn't on my car, like, at all. Because my car sits in the garage. So, I mean, for pollen to get to it is improbable. So I'm outside, went to the store, came out, and I saw this powdery dust on the hood of my car. And I'm like, oh, crap. And it begins. It begins. I woke up this morning, like, my left eye was slightly swollen. And I was like, it got me.
Get an air purifier.
Horrible times, man. I, like, no windows is open, right? No windows is open. And I have a pet cat, right? And it's actually kind of like a neighborhood cat now. His name is Spartacus. He has, like, three different names now. He's, like, Spartacus. The neighbors call him Dragon. Like, he has his own, he has three different houses. And so I went out, you know, to put my garbage can at the front. And I see him come trotting up across the street. I'm like, yo, what's happening? Let him in the house, fed him. And he just wanted to be in the house for just a few minutes. So I'm sitting here playing Helldivers. He's hopping up on the chair, hopping up on my shoulder. And I'm like, yo, what, like, do you just want attention right now? Right now? But I forgot he came from outside. So he probably brought that spawn in the house. And he, like, listen, I brought you a gift and I'm ready to go now. And he left. And I think that's what happened. He brought the demon in the house. That's what's happening.
Listen, if you go to the pet store, they have, like, animal baby wipes.
Yeah.
And if he'll let you, you could just give him a quick wipe down and it'll be good. I mean, that's what I do with my cat. He absolutely hates it. Hates it. But I'm like, if you cleaned yourself like a normal cat would, I wouldn't have to do this.
Yes.
And then he runs away and begins to clean himself at that point. I was like, well, you should have did this in the first place.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know you was going to, like, bombard me with cleaning products. You know, that's not what I come here for. I come here to get petted.
He's like, 0 out of 10, do not recommend. I will not be back.
Do not recommend.
Here is my Yelp review.
Man, so today on Anime Breakdown, we got Solo Leveling Episode 10 and Ninja Kamui Episode 6, if I'm not mistaken. But the most recent episode of Ninja Kamui. Man, so out of these two anime, like, who won this week, in your opinion? And we're going to break down both of those anime, but which anime you felt like won the week out of these two?
Ninja Kamui.
I said the same exact thing. The same exact thing. But we definitely.
Because as I'm watching it, I was like, yes! I was like, I knew it! I knew it!
As soon as I saw that reveal, I was like, I can't wait to talk to Vivo about this. But you know.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this is awesome. And he's going to get a suit. Oh, I am. Yo. Ninja and mech. I'm there.
I'm there for it. I'm there for it. But before we get into Ninja Combo Wood, we got to go into some solo leveling. And we're definitely going to be talking about, you know, Genu's terrible, terrible secret being kept. But what you thought about this episode of solo leveling?
I just thought it was hilarious. Because An, he was like, you could see him just putting the dots together. Like a true recruiter. Yes. Now, he didn't put all the dots together because he went into that negotiation talking about, like, yeah, he's going to sign with us. No problem.
Yeah.
When Genu hit him with that, so y'all about to give me that that building that cost $50 billion, and I was like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, now what now? Say what? How much they paying you? You said.
Allow me to explain. Right now, I'm getting paid this amount of money. So if you're saying you doubling this, this is what you owe me. Yep. So he was like, I got to talk to somebody. Well, nice talking to you, my guy. I'm going to go head out.
Wait, like, Genu's negotiation tactics, top shelf.
Yes, yes.
Because he scammed the hell out of him on top.
He is a car salesman nightmare. That's what he is. And you know what's funny about it? Like, when he said that to him, I got up and walked away. I did the same thing to a car salesman that was selling me my Camaro. Like, he's like, listen, that's the best I could do. I'm like, all right. And I got up and walked out. I literally walked out. He had all my contact info. I didn't leave it for him, but, you know, he already had it. And then 2 days later, I get a phone call like, hey, yeah, we was able to figure it out. And we can able to lower that price for you. I was like, my man. All right. I got you. Like, go to the school of Genu's negotiation tactics. He will get you everything that you need.
Yeah, but, I mean, he had that BATNA on lock.
Oh, easy. So, I mean, okay, considering that there was three major incidents that happened. Like, you know, Genu surviving the double dungeon. And Genu surviving the incident with Don Suk, right? And then this most recent incident. And he always comes out alive. Always comes out alive. And nobody picks up on this except for the guy that's doing the recruiting. That means the majority of people around him is dumb. Like, come on now. Who's not tracking this? Well, so my question is, would you take in that deal? Would you took the $50
billion? What, friend? Huh? That wasn't an actual deal that he could. He didn't have authorization, so.
True, but it seems as though he could get that information, though. Like, he can get that done if need be. You don't think so?
Not without having to jump through additional hoops and securing additional approvals. First of all, if he were to go to his superiors talking about, yo, we got this E rank, I think he might have reawakened. Uh-huh. Because of X, Y, and Z. But we really need him on our team, so let's give him $50 billion. His superiors would look at him like,
you're selling him a building? Sir.
You're like, you're giving him our building?
Yeah.
Like, and, I mean, the guildmaster would have been looking at him like, I'm not even worth the building.
No deal. No deal. And shout out to Willie Hines. Like, what's popping for Suede Mobile Hookah? And for Suede Mobile Hookah, those hookah smokers that are out there, he actually drives to your location. And you have to get try out some of his hookah products. So shout out to Suede Mobile Hookah. And he asked, what are we talking about? And we are talking about solo leveling the most recent episode, episode 10, breakdown of that. If I'm Genu, right? And I'm talking, you know, he came to me about this information. That means you want me. I didn't seek you out. I will up the ante a little bit. Oh, $50 billion? What about 75? What about 75? I'm clearing out these C rank. Oh, by the way, I can sell you 3 Seagates for a certain price. And how much was it? How much was it? 300?
Sold them each for $200 million.
For $200 million, but
and they were only going initial. For what in the anime? In the anime, I think they said they were going for like 20 million each. But in the webtoon, they were going for 10. So the windfall he made.
But he made it sound so easy. He was like,
yo, oh, okay, but that was rude. Like, that was extra rude. Like, wow. He owned like 1,000%.
Hey, listen, man. I ain't mad at Gino for negotiating, for his negotiation tactics, because he highballed it. He was like, man, the average is like 200. I'm like, okay, 200 now. Like, do you want this now? Or I can take all the gates and you can't access none of this.
And I think that was also An's mistake too, because clearly he hadn't looked at the market for sea gates at the time, because by the time he got back to his office, his subordinate was like, yo, there's a surplus of sea gates right now, and they're only going for 20 each.
Yeah.
So, and then he was like, he scammed me. Yep, but I got his contact information, so it was all worth it. I'm like, that is the most expensive phone number.
Yeah, that was not worth it, my guy. That was not worth it. You got hustled. And we'll ask, what's the rating on the anime? Give me the backstory, y'all. So, currently, these 10 episodes, Solo Leveling, what rating would you give that, Vivo?
So far, of everything?
Yeah, like out of 5.
Oh, out of 5?
Yeah.
A 4.5 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5, yeah. I'll say the same. I really do the same. Mainly because it's kind of like a reverse isekai, in a way.
Where the other world comes to you.
Yeah, exactly. The other world comes to you, and you got this one guy that have the ability of the normal isekai anime that we see, like pulling up menus and stuff like that. So you technically see that. But, I mean, it's highly regarded in webtoons. It's like one of the best-selling webtoons. It's not the best-selling webtoon out of all of them. And it's
definitely up there at the top.
Like, how I got to the term of webtoon is by Solo Leveling. Like, I haven't, like, read it ad nauseum. Like, I haven't read it to the level of Vivo has. She hasn't finished it, but she definitely read it way further ahead than me. But considering when it was on webtoon, everybody was swearing about it. Like, everybody was like, yo, this is the heat. And then when it was announced last year, and we had to wait, what, 6 months before it dropped? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why you told us this like 6 months ago for us to wait in agony for 6 months? Because it was super hyped.
Yeah.
And I will say it is worth the hype. I will say that.
And if you don't have the time to invest in watching the previous 7 episodes, you can jump right into episode 7.5, which is a recap episode that takes you from literally the beginning all the way up to the most recent point, and then you can easily get caught up from there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know what? That's the beauty of the part. You know, we talked about that recap episode, how we kind of shaky on that. Well, this is the reason. I mean, for someone that probably don't want to go back and watch like episode 1 through 7 or whatever the case may be, you can watch episode 7.5 and then it'll catch you up on everything, give you like a brief synopsis, Cliff Notes version of that. So we're giving you a shout out. He's it on Crunchyroll or Funimation? It is actually on Crunchyroll. Yeah, Funimation is
basically Crunchyroll.
And he says, shout out to you for the Naruto fit. Like, listen. Like, yo, like, you want to tell him about your Naruto fandom? Because bitch, you got some tats, right? Yeah, see? See? All day. I don't know what it is about black people in the Akatsuki, man, but I don't know. We just wrestling with the Akatsuki.
Hey, I saw this hat on the rack, and I was like, something in me was just like, yes.
Must cop. You know what? What's funny about it? I do not have any Akatsuki, like,
my it's not crusty anymore.
Oh, snap. Told that's the new one, right?
Yep.
That's what's up.
I just need to figure out what else I'm gonna do now.
I need to get me some Akatsuki gear. I'm not even going to hold you. I got to
listen,
be on the lookout for that.
I'll be wandering around in public with an Akatsuki cloak. I don't care.
Man, look, the way the designs are, like the clouds on there, it can easily go into like today's fashion. A lot of people even knowing what the heck is going on. It was mm-hmm. like, yo, this is a fresh fit. Where did you get it? And you tell them and where it's from, you're like, word? And anytime you go to a convention, if you see a Akatsuki outfit, the majority of the people in the convention that have Akatsuki fits is black people. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I'll say that the majority. I wouldn't say 100%, but it's definitely, we hold that higher percentage when it comes to Akatsuki fits. Because, they fit with everything. It's black, red, you can match that with anything you want. Yep. Yeah, I'm going to need that, Scully, though. I'm going to need that.
Spencer's.
I'm staring at it like before the show even started. I was like, I need to get that. I need to call that. So what he says, he said, you got the Gotham Shadrack on surgery done. Man, he said he kind of want the curse mark on his shoulder coming down the sleeve. Hey.
That'd be cool. I actually thought about doing something like that, but having it like up here and then kind of it spreading, but mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see.
It's not a bad deal though. It's not a bad deal. But now going back to Solo Leveling, Junhae officially retires.
As she should. Like,
yeah, because she ain't been right since. Like she ain't been right since that first episode. Well, the first couple episodes, and it looks to a certain degree that she was shaking it off a little bit, but it's like something always like snaps her back to that moment. Uh-huh. And even as a B rank hunter, she's like, nah, you know, you look like you can take care of yourself. I'm done. So I thought it was actually going to go out on a date. I thought it was going to be too. 8 episodes.
I was like, they're not going to. Okay.
Every anime needs a date episode, you know? It always has one. And I thought this was going to be it. I thought it was going to be like the date episode. And then,
well, maybe he'll find himself a strong, independent woman that isn't suffering from PTSD because of a dungeon. So,
yeah.
We can hope. Yeah.
Yo, like, I know we jumping off the reservation here, but the dopest date episode I've seen was on Baki. That is the dopest scene when he took Kazuha out and they took a walk in the park and one of the prisoners was like stalking him, and when he hugged Kazuha, he like gave him a death look because Kazuha didn't even know what the heck was going on, and then the dude just froze where he was and he was like, oh shit, my bad. And then as he was walking there, his homeboy grabbed a dude and took him in the bushes. He was like, yeah, you ain't gonna disrupt this date, my guy. Yeah Like, that's the dopest date episode I've
And I
I've
still ever need to seen. Finish Baki.
Now's the
I
time.
Left off right after he beat Pickle. They need to change. Why would they name him? Okay, let me not. I'm done. I was so irritated. Why is his name Pickle?
Hey, man, listen. Are you really questioning Baki, though? In names? That's the least of your
valid. Worst. That's valid.
Least of your worst. And, really hard. Shout out to my boy Griffith. I was like, sweet
Griffith. You know what? I'm not even gonna make the joke that I was gonna make because it was highly inappropriate. So Griffith, man, doesn't know how to take girls out on dates.
No, he doesn't. Nah, he doesn't at all. Hey, man, listen. He got to bite it. We need Berserk to end in this proper manner. Like, Guts needs his happy ending because, damn it, he's been through so much shit in his life.
I'm probably going to start reading it. I thought I saw that they were going to either, well, I don't know that it's a reboot, but I think it might be a continuation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I should start reading that at some point.
Yeah. So, it's not really much to this episode other than Junhae retiring and Jinu with his negotiation tactics and him clearing out ranks, clearing out C rank missions.
He got that new quest.
He did get that new quest. And he measured himself as a high B rank or A rank person. So he's training, waiting on the younger brother, Dong Su, to show up to eventually fight him because he needs to be strong enough to actually beat him, which
he needs to be S rank or he needs to be stronger than the S rank because they're basically natural disasters.
Yes. And just like Jinchu told him, he like, listen, there's no laws against S-rank guys. Like, either it's going to be a hero or it's going to be a calamity. Like, that says a lot.
And the way he just got in the car, he was like, well, good luck. And just,
and then, like, he's just like, yo, this mofo's after you. He's S-rank. And there's no laws against him coming after you, by the way. It's because the laws can't stop you. Have fun with that. Bye. Man, I think that's where the 12th episode is going to show, like that actual final fight, because when I googled it, I think it's just going to be 12 episodes for the season, and then we're going to have to wait until whenever, hopefully later this year, for a new season to drop. But you know how 12 episode animes are.
I will also point out that his sister's, his younger sister's friend is one of the strike team members. And remember earlier, you know, when his sister would vent to her.
Yeah.
She was always like, well, why is he so weak? Da, 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 da. Now she's a part of the strike team and she's like, what is going on? How are they clearing the dungeons by themselves? And so I am interested to see how she plays into the overall story. Yeah. And I actually really like Gino. I really like him.
Yeah. Gino's character has changed quite a bit since the first two episodes. You see him get a little bit more confidence, a little bit more arrogant. Like, I thought he was going to kill old boy in the store because in the restaurant, because he could have done that and nobody would have known anything. Like, he cut this man across the cheek just to let him know, I can kill you right now. But I won't.
No, I'm talking about Gino.
Oh, Gino. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Gino.
Oh, wait.
Oh, you talking about Gino as far as the executive that Gino is with?
Yeah.
Who's that? Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you. He has no clue.
Her names are similar. It's fine.
Very similar. He has no clue what was going on. He had on like full buff body armor.
He was just like, and he was like, not to be mean, but please take that.
Take that helmet off now. This ain't for you, baby. He like, can I at least have the helmet on? He like, fine. You can have the helmet on, I guess.
I wonder, do they get experience points? Or do they have to act? I wonder if he actually gets any type of experience points. I mean, it doesn't really matter, though, because if they, normal hunters aren't able to, I guess, increase their strength, then I guess they would have no need of experience points.
So, actually, let me ask, are there demons? Is there magic? Like, what anime is similar?
No, so this is basically, the world was normal, and then like 10 plus years ago, something happened where these gates opened up various locations in the world, and certain people awakened as what they call hunters, and these hunters were basically gifted with like special abilities to actually go into these gates and conquer them. They're essentially dungeons. If they do not conquer the dungeons within 7 days, then there's what is called a dungeon break, and all of the mythical magic evil creatures that are within these gates are able to come into the real world and wreak havoc. And so you know, this has been happening for quite some time, and since then society has now adapted to these gates opening up in random locations. They have actual companies called hunter guilds that have formed in order to tackle these gates, and basically it's become another part of the economy for societies across the globe. Hunters are ranked from lowest being E-class all the way up to S-class being the strongest. And when you awaken as a hunter, they basically will gauge what your strength is. And, you know, if you're an A-rank hunter, you're an A-rank hunter. There's no way for you to increase your rank. Same thing with E-ranks. If you are born as it or awakened as an E-rank, there's no way for you to actually increase your rank to become stronger. Our main character, Jinu, is originally an E-rank hunter. However, through chance, luck, somebody was praying for him, clearly. Even though he's an E-rank hunter, something strange has happened to him, and now in that he is now able to actually increase his strength and become a lot stronger. So if you were to start watching from episode one to where we currently are now, it's like he's like a night and day different person. That's basically like the super cliff notes, and we're basically following along his journey as he's trying to figure out, okay, well, what is exactly happening to me? Apparently now he is a player in some kind of system or game that is kind of reflective of, what would be like a good example, like where they have the dialogue boxes that open up and say, you've been awarded. It kind of like even Log Horizon.
Shangri-La Frontier.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. Like any isekai where you're inside a game and the sub menus pop up and you can look at
Sword Art Online, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. He can do that in the real world, but no one else can. That basically what,
as far as we know right now.
Yeah, as far as we know, because it could be somebody else that could be on that same level as he is, but the world would never know. I'm until later.
And there's also apparently something in this entire world called false rankers, where there are certain individuals who are actually able to control their rank and appear weaker than they actually are. So initially, when people see him unleash his earned strength, they think that he's a false ranker, which isn't necessarily true. And then there's this thing called reawakening. It's a phenomenon that happens. It's very rare that happens to hunters where they have there's a chance that, you know, they are able to reawaken to a higher level than what they were before. And so everybody right now thinks that it's possible that Jinu has actually gone through a reawakening, but I don't think it's actually been confirmed that is in fact what he's experiencing.
Yeah, for sure. I will say this anime is really, really, really good. And I sometimes go through what they call anime withdrawals or anime overload. That's a better word. Yep. Because it's so much anime that's out there and you will fall behind. That's just what it is. We were able to put Solo Leveling at the forefront. And that's why every Monday at 7, we do anime breakdown for two anime that we chose. So this two anime is Solo Leveling and Ninja Kamui up to the end of their respective seasons. And once their season ends, then we pick two more anime to cross over and, you know, to look over and everything else to break down. And it may be some anime that is not on the mainstream. And it may be some anime that you're overlooking. Because sometimes mainstream anime overlook some gems that people just miss out on like completely because they're so focused on like the mainstream stuff. Like when we say mainstream stuff, you know, like One Piece, you know, and stuff like that. And Chainsaw Man, which that hasn't come out yet, but as far as the new season goes. But there is a new anime that's dropping, which I will do an anime recommendation at the end of the show. And that comes out spring for 2024. And that's also a manga, which I want to say you can find it on Shonen Jump and Viz Media, but I'm going to wait to the end of the show to do that.
Oh, okay.
And he says, like, The Witch and the Beast. Exactly like that. Yep. The Witch and the Beast.
And I still need to get started on that one.
Yeah.
And I was the one that told you to watch it, and I still haven't even watched it yet.
Listen, I watched the first episode, and I was like, yo, this is different. So, just because of the comment here of The Witch and the Beast, that would be the next one of the next animes we actually drop down and actually look at and break down. We did start with Ishira, but
I have not gone back to that since we parted.
We have not gone back to it because it took way too goddamn long for
anything
to get to the point to keep introducing characters, like what, six episodes or something like that, four or five. We know it's just like, we don't have the strength
And then it was hard for me to follow who what was happening. I was like, so this person is for this person or this side. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it definitely was one of those situations. But next up, we are talking about Ninja Kamui. And Emma shows her hand. Finally. Finally.
You had an inkling. You were like, she's a ninja. I feel it in my bones. She's a ninja. And she was. Is.
Yes.
Knock on wood that he actually saved her before old pervert man did her in.
Oh, Lil? Yeah. We what definitely will be talking about that. That's his name is Lil. I've done some research on this. I've done some research on this to get these characters' names because they don't really talk about those names too much. And you'd be so engrossed in the action and all the stuff that's taking place in it. And then you forget, like, damn, what was their name again? Because you just always.
I don't even think they ever said his name.
Yeah, I want to say they did, but it's like. They talk so, you know, at the point in time, they talk so much, and you just get so thrown off by what Lil is actually saying.
Yeah, because he just be out of left field, out of pocket at all times.
All times. So, we've been speculating over the past few weeks, you know, something's up with Emma. And I said that from the first episode. I was like, even though she didn't reveal herself, she didn't, like, show anything that was out of the ordinary as her character. I just had this feeling of something's off with Emma. Like, I don't know what it is about her. But
and, like, when you look back and think about it, like, her skills with computers and hacking are way too refined for a regular schmegular FBI agent. And how she was, like, regularly talking about, oh, I bet I could get all of that information. You know how much money people would pay for that? I'm like, ma'am. You are an officer of the court. What are you talking about?
Like, are you not in the FBI, man? Yeah, man. But I really did like this episode. And I say this is where, you know, the rubber meets the road when it comes to what's going on. Because it really had you in the chokehold and didn't really let you go. Now, I mean, it was like a little low road or whatever, but it wasn't too low to the fact that it knocked you off the reservation. Like, the last week's episode was a lot of going on that skyscraper.
Yep.
And it left a little bit of confusion because we speculated that I thought Zai was the one who actually saved, you know, Joe. But it wasn't. Joe just, listen, first of all, why the heck Zai just standing on the skyscraper with nobody's around still? Just standing there looking at like he's going to magically show back up again.
I mean, maybe it was for dramatic effect. Maybe. His character design is really cool. I'm sorry.
It is. It definitely is. Like, I feel like he might be the final boss or next to the final boss in getting to the people in charge of it. So for what I gather with the information that I got from the characters' names is Lil is the creepy ninja for sure, and Big D is the black ninja with the fade. That is that's his name, Big D.
What?
That's his name. But
what's hilarious too is that his suit was crafted specifically with his fade.
Yes.
In mind. I was like, really, bro?
Bro, listen, the first time I saw that robot, I'm like, that's him. That's him right there. That's him. That is him.
Emma's suit is really cool, too.
Yeah, and he asked, what anime is this similar to this one? Is it Basilisk? No, I will say John Wick. And that's not even an anime. It's very similar to John Wick.
If you were to roll John Wick with Ninja Scroll, you would have this anime.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I do you one better. John Wick and with a little bit of Ninja Scroll. as far as like the action. The action goes to it. But the highlight for this episode is Emma. They showcase her skills. I mean, you find out that she was at the house when Higan's family was getting massacred, and she was the one who hit Joe in the throat with two needles.
With the needles. That was her secret art, though.
Right, right. And she said, listen, and that's my secret art.
She didn't get there in time to save Marie and their son.
Yeah.
She got there after they had already killed her, and she was like, I was trying to save her. I was trying my hardest to save. And she saved him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the only one left at that point. So, man, I was like, dang.
Little too late. But that also lets you know that we have to pay attention to what goes on in these episodes, because like in a little thing, because in the first episode, we were just engrossed in what was going on. Like we didn't pay attention. And I think that's the beauty of like filmmaking, especially films that will make you think, or series that make you think and make you pay attention to like the little things. But at that point in time, we was thinking it was just an action fest, like just blood, guts, and that's what it was. But there was like underlying things that was happening that gets revealed much later, which Emma, like I was saying earlier, you know, secret art kept him alive. So when he got stabbed, he just, you know, he was cool. But technology is a strong suit, though.
Yep.
Definitely so. Like, she had me fooled. I was like, yo, when D showed up, because what did he say to his boss? He was like, my fate is intact. Like, I'm gonna go see about this. I know what she is. That kind of thing. It's something that he said in regards to his hair. But Lil was a little bit ahead of the curve, and he like, listen, I'm telling you, I already know where you are. I'm not gonna let everybody else know where like, you are, because I want you for myself.
He's smart and crazy. So
smart, crazy, creepy.
Yes.
He needs to go. Like, that's the most perverted ninja.
This is bad.
What?
I'm sorry, the lawyer in my brain. You said, so listen, crazy, smart, creepy, CSC. The door, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, that's, yeah. For those of you that don't understand what CSC, it's, I believe, criminal sexual conduct.
Yo, that's exactly what it is. The lawyer in her.
Yeah. So, listen, I am so excited for next week's episode because, okay, so Emma was trying to buy time the entire time she was engaging with Lil in order for Higan to be able to appropriately sync with the Kamui suit.
Yes.
And whatever happened, whatever he remember. Oh no. And she played that message for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got to the end of the message, whatever she, that entire spiel that she gave him pissed him off to the point that his sync rate went from like 49% straight to 100.
He was like, I'm out.
Like, Lil's about to get he's going to wipe the floor.
I hope he does it in slow motion, too. I hope he does slow motion. I hope Lil don't get a lick in. Yes, I don't want Lil to get a lick in. This creepy bastard got to go. Like, easily. I hope Emma is alive through this because
I do, too.
Because, you know, you just revealed what her abilities is. Like, you just showed her hand just to kill her off because, I mean, obviously, we have watched some anime where we get attached to the camera.
And her connection to Marie.
Yeah.
Like, she's basically family, so.
Yeah. Like, keep her alive. I mean, I understand Lil killing her will make him make us hate him even more and want him to go more and more. And if he just so happened to escape, that just grows our hatred. And I get the storytelling when it comes to that, but let's just keep Emma alive. Just keep her alive. Like,
yeah.
But again, I understand the story progression because Morris is looking for Emma. She's not answering the phone. And, you know, how would he react to Emma not being there anymore? But still, man, like, but I do feel like this is one of these series that do not require multiple seasons. I think this thing is going to end, like, start to finish. Like,
yeah, that's what it's feeling like. Yeah. What episode are we on? Is it seven? Six, yeah.
Yeah. Things are progressing really fast. But I think, you know how with certain anime, it progressed way too fast to the point of you don't know what's happening. You're like, man, this is really rushed. But Ninja Kamui, it does go through things really fast, but somehow, some way, they're able to integrate like story and a little bit of lore inside of what we're watching.
It's really good storytelling. How they have it structured.
Yeah.
And how they're pacing it's all working.
Man, listen, the thing, I had no clue Mex was going to get involved in this. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about this because I really want to see like just straight up ninja fighting. But you include Mex in there, and you know me, I'm not a big super fan of CGI animation and stuff like that. But this CGI animation is really done, really well done.
It is.
And I was like, huh. I might like this. It might be okay. It might be one of those things where I leave some sort of appreciation for CGI anime, but it's a very short list though. Very, very short list. So we'll see what happens. I don't know how many more episodes we have left of Ninja Kamui, but you know, stretch it out a little bit further. And I like the fact it's on Toonami too, so.
So, I'm gonna just buy all of the rest of the season on Prime so that I can watch it whenever.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Now, it is on HBO Max. If you miss the live, you know, premiere of Ninja Kamui, that's on Toonami at midnight, if I'm not mistaken. It shows up on HBO Max like the next day. So you can definitely check it out on that regard.
Yeah.
Also, before we get out of here, last week we learned about the most recent passing of Akira Toriyama last weekend. And actually, he's been passed on for quite some time. It just was revealed to us that he passed away. As far as I hear the dog. I hear the dog. He's like, I want to be on the show too.
I'm sorry. I don't know why he's crying. He was perfectly quiet until now. So he wants so much attention. I'm about to.
He heard about Ninja Kamui. That's what it is. He's like, listen, I seen it. I want to speak my piece on this because I've been watching it with my own.
Listen, he's on a completely different floor. And my door is closed. So the fact that you're able to hear him, like, I'm literally like, oh my God, this dog. Okay.
put the, what is it? What's that screen? Like, please stand by. Like, having a technical difficulty. But yeah, we learned about the most recent passion of Akira Toriyama. Like, he's one of the greats. I will say Dragon Ball is definitely one of the most, if not the most influential anime, you know, of all time when it comes to introducing other anime to us. Dragon Ball really put anime at the forefront in the U.S. So wouldn't you agree with that?
I would. I think that there were some anime, very notable anime that came before it, but
yeah,
the reach of Dragon Ball, how it picked up and was able to engage so many different audiences across, you know, different age groups.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and one of the viewers was like, my dog is in the garage with me. He keeps looking for the other dog. He's like, I hear people. Like, I hear my people. But yeah, I definitely say that, especially with Toonami, I know the demographic was like, you know, young boys, you know, us growing up. But it actually appealed to women too. And then they added in Sailor Moon. And then that was like the happy medium. It's kind of like the meeting of the minds type reel. Because I think I remember specifically, Sailor Moon used to come on at 4. And Dragon Ball Z used to come on at 5 or 5:30. I don't remember. And then The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest was like the last one, I think.
I remember rushing home from school so that I would be able to catch all of the anime.
Oh, say, okay, so I got a hot take, right? Yeah, I really, really appreciate the ocean dub Vegeta over the current dub Vegeta. Mainly because that's where I grew up with. Brian Drummond, which I actually met him, by the way. But it's the over 9,000. Like, I don't think no one carried that level of frustration or you won't escape my wrath when he realized Gohan, like, you know, snuffed him with the Dragon Ball. And you saw the veins popped out and you saw his veins in his eyes and he was like, I get you. Like, in like that rage that he had, I was like, yo, Vegeta's about to fuck someone up in the next episode. I don't think, shout out to Christopher Sabat too, because I really do appreciate what he does with Piccolo and Yamcha and current Vegeta. Someone said it perfectly that the Brian Drummond Vegeta from the Ocean Dub and what we've seen from the Rock the Dragon intro, that showcases the younger Vegeta before he shifted over to get more mature and his personality changed.
I agree with
that. And that's where you see the Christopher Sabat Vegeta, the more responsible one, if you will. The one that don't blow up planets. This was
by out of all the characters in that entire series, Vegeta is probably the one with the most sense.
Yes. Yes.
Out of all of them.
Yes.
Especially like that entire dialogue. And I still haven't even like watched Super all the way through. That is a pet project for the summer. But when Goku is like, come on, we're gonna go train on Beerus's world, and Vegeta's like, no. And Goku was like, well, why not? He was like, my wife's literally about to give birth. And Goku's over here like, well, how's that a you problem? And Vegeta is like, I don't understand how you're even married.
Yeah. Like, you're an idiot. That's why. that's what's going on.
And then here comes Wiz agreeing with Goku. Like, didn't Wiz just magically wave his staff and all of a sudden Vegeta's new baby appeared?
You said, oh, that's your problem? I got you. I got you. Here you go. You're like, oh, Wiz, what you doing? You're like, no, I got you. I got you, fam. Boom, here you go, baby. Now,
if I were Bulma, I would not be mad at that.
Man, nah, I don't think Bulma was. And Goku like, okay, baby's here. Can we
go now?
This man was like,
Goku was like, oh, I don't have to worry about that with Chi Chi because I was dead. Like, why are you bragging about that? That is not something you should brag about.
No, not at all.
Oh my
man.
Gosh.
So here's the other thing, right? The Ocean Dove Goku was a little bit smarter. Like, he wasn't completely clueless. Like, it was some things that he was saying in, like, the Saiyan saga of the Ocean Dove. And I'm like, he's actually pretty intelligent. But, you know, you transition over to, like, the Funimation Dove and stuff like that. Like, you know, Goku got a little dumbed down a little bit. Like, it's been revealed that he never kissed Chi-Chi. He don't even know what kissing is. And so,
like, everybody, when he said, he was like, oh, why are you putting your mouth on her? And everybody was like, wait.
Vegeta was like, hold on. So you mean to tell me you don't know what kissing is? They're like, so Vegeta blushing, like, so how'd you, huh? Completely
terrified. Chi-Chi probably had to give him all types of instructions. Okay, let me stop.
Quaaludes. Yeah, that was Chi-Chi got it. That was Chi-Chi got it. Well, listen.
No, she didn't like, pull Bill Cosby, no.
Yeah, that's what happened. Chi-Chi, Bill Cosby, Goku. That's exactly. First of all, I don't condone that. Let me put that out there. But Goku had to be drugged because there's no way that Chi-Chi was like gonna let this man slide without ever kissing him. But didn't Dragon Ball she kissed him? I want to say she kissed him on the cheek, but she didn't really like kiss him.
Uh-huh.
But young Goku was just.
Young Goku was out here stealing Bulma's panties, removing Bulma's panties while she was sleeping, and then confused.
You're like, you don't have what I have.
Bulma was about to commit a murder right
then. Yeah, easily.
He's lucky that he made it to Super.
Yeah.
Because Bulma could have taken him out multiple times when he was a kid.
Hey, one of the users said Goku just so strong. He don't worry about insignificant things. He just know how to smash. I like, he probably don't know how to do that, honestly. But and he also said that Chi-Chi kissed him on the cheek. Okay. That's what happened. And then he's like, yo, this is the person I'm going to marry, XYZ. But
and Goku was like, okay.
How Vegeta is like, he knows about all these things. Like, you grew up on, well, then again, he is royalty after all that. Bulma is not the type to let any of that stuff slide. So there's that.
I just think it's hilarious that he's actually afraid of Bulma, though.
Vegeta is, yeah. I wouldn't say afraid of her. I think they're a perfect match because on Earth, she's royalty in a way because she owns she's part owner of Capsule Court. Well, she's probably now owner of Capsule Court. And everything that anybody uses in the city has Capsule Corp on it. So she's rich. Vegeta is royalty, which means he's rich. So, I mean, it's a perfect match for each other.
So, you know that saying, like, when guys will give, older guys will give younger guys the advice, like, when your wife... Whenever you get into an argument with your wife, she's right. Yeah. Just go with it. That's how Vegeta is. He has realized that. And so he actively tries to avoid conflict with her. Like, physically, he's, of course, stronger. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't want the smoke because he knows that she will match his energy.
Yes.
And you can tell it when they argue with each other and he's the one, he'll be the first one that'll remove himself from the situation. Cause she'll still go. She doesn't care.
Yeah, you know what?
Have you noticed that? Like, he will remove himself from the situation.
Yeah, cause I noticed it in the Android saga when he used to get into it, like, whatever.
He's like, what's up? So he's like, I'm gonna just take this L.
And he called her an idiot every now and again, but that's kind of like his way to, like, I'm gonna have the last word, but you know, low key, you won that one. But well, you know what? Like, the first instance they met each other, when he crash landed, like, right in front of Capsule Court, and Yamcha was, like, joking around or whatever, and she was like, you stink, you need a bath. And she kind of, like, did the finger thing on him, and he was like, come on, follow me. And he, like, had his hands on his hips.
And then she gave him that outfit to wear, and he was like, why is it pink?
Why is it pink?
And then Krillin and Yamcha out here clowning him.
He's like, I'm a warrior, not the variety of flower. So, like, it is the fashion. He was like, this is what men wear. How bizarre.
That one episode where he, like, grew his goatee out and then he, like, shaved it and then he was walking around like, do you notice anything?
Oh, GT?
And then he got mad. He shaved it because Bra was like, ugh. And then And then Bulma and Chi-Chi were clowning him because that was the reason why he ended up shaving it. But then he was walking around talking about, do you notice anything different? And nobody. Like, and then he got mad when nobody noticed.
Like, I shaved my mustache, you idiot.
Listen, Vegeta's character growth slash redemption arc is probably definitely top five for me.
Yes, for sure. Like, I think he originated the edgy character that grew up to be an actual good guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's definitely was at the forefront. Like, Hiei was another one like that, too. But Hiei's character growth is not like Vegeta's. Like, Vegeta's character growth is like a complete turnaround to the point where he's not a planet buster, even though he can. He's more, I'm going to protect the planet, and I'm going to protect the family that I have right now. And, you know, and don't touch Bulma. Because that's my Bulma. Like, that's my Bulma. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, okay. Like, you really pissed this man off. Like, he got the first lick off of Beerus. So, that says a lot about what he's capable of doing. But I do like in Dragon Ball Super how they're separating Goku and Vegeta, not having them go the same path like they did in Dragon Ball Z. Because, you know, you have Super Saiyan 1 through 3. But in this one, you got Ultra Instinct Goku, but you got Ultra Ego Vegeta in the manga. And they're doing, like, differences. So, like, Goku is more of a defensive type of Ultra Instinct character, and Vegeta is more of the offensive type, and they complement each other. So, one of the users said she had his eyes on, had her eyes on since Namek. How she survived the whole thing. Which, like, which they never interacted with each other, but still.
Yeah, they did.
On Namek?
On Namek, yeah. They were stuck together for a little bit. And she was freaked out.
Oh, but it was on Earth then. They got back to Earth then. That's when they was interacting. When he was sitting under the tree and he grabbed the grass and threw it up in the air. Yeah, that was on Earth.
When they went to Namek, I forgot how Bulma even got to Namek, but they ran into each other. Bulma and Vegeta, and then they were stuck together for a little bit for whatever reason, and then I forgot what happened, like if he went off or something.
So Krillin and Gohan went with Bulma. Like, Bulma was the one that was able to fly the ship to Namek because they couldn't do it. So Vegeta crash landed back on planet Frieza to get rehab. And then when he went on Namek, he went to go look for the Dragon Balls because he wanted to kill Frieza eventually. Uh-huh. The only interaction they did have on Namek was when he flew in with Gohan and Krillin to grab a Dragon Ball to dip. And then she was like, was that Vegeta with y'all? And because she couldn't wrap her head around that. She was like, and it just hit her at that point when she was walking off. And it was like, Vegeta? Like, why are y'all? Oh, no. That's not the only time. The other time was when Zarbon showed up for the second time. And Zarbon thought he could wax Vegeta one more time. But he keeps forgetting. Well, he never knew that Saiyans get stronger after every battle if they're near death. And then Vegeta just mopped the floor with Zarbon. So I think they only interacted like twice.
Zarbon was so zesty. It was funny.
Hey, man, listen. Zarbon was... Oh, speaking of which, now for Dragon Ball, like Dragon Ball Spark and Zero, some more characters being revealed. I'm so happy that Jace is one of the characters being revealed because he's one of my favorite characters in Ginyu Force. Yeah, so I'm happy about that. And they have character types now. So like Nappa will be a power type. Jace will be a speed type. And so it's going to be strength, speed, and technique type for the new Dragon Ball game. So I'm very interested on how they're going to, like, put that in there and how they're going to balance that thing out. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't even have to go through that much thinking because just give us Tenkaichi, you know, Budokai Tenkaichi, and just give us all the new characters, and we'll enjoy just the same.
I don't think I got Budokai. I had, what was that? Was it Raging Blast before?
You never got Budokai? Well, you played Budokai, though, right?
Yeah, just a little, like, but I think I did, like, demos, but I didn't play it. I know. I'm sorry. I was deep into my Destiny 2 addiction by the time it came out, so...
Wait. No. Like Dragon Ball Budokai, like PlayStation 2 ish. That's like back then.
No, like, I did not play that.
Yeah, this is before Destiny and Destiny 2 and all that. Yeah, it was like 3D and it was like flying all around.
Yeah, no, I didn't play that one. I have Raging Blast though.
You're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, this new game that's coming out, I'll just get that one.
Because Raging Blast?
That was fun. It was fun.
But Budokai Tenkaichi or Budokai 3 or any of the PlayStation 2 Dragon Ball Z games that was like had Budokai in it. Like, listen, when that theme music hit, man, you get pick up the sticks. It's time to go off, man. It's like every character you can possibly use. Like, you can even get to Kui, that was on Namek. That first victim that Vegeta killed on Namek, that dude with the purple face and the alien head, the one that ran away.
Mm-hmm.
He's on there. You can play as him. You can play as a regular Frieza soldier on there. Man, let me tell you, man, that right there, man, something about it. That Budokai series or the Tenkaichi series, no matter which one, was a magical thing. That was like peak. That was peak stuff right there. And hopefully Sparkling Zero will make those same memories come to light. Now, I will tell you though, you can get a PlayStation 2 emulator and get you some of that Budokai Tenkaichi magic. That way you can play it.
What can I run this emulator on? What can I run the emulator on?
You can run it on PC. You can run it on PC. Just say PlayStation 2 emulator. And then just get the ROMs for Budokai Tenkaichi and it's a wrap. And he said Raging Blast is on 360 and UBT is the GOAT on Xbox 360.
I still have my 360.
Hey, if you can find Budokai Tenkaichi, man.
Listen, I have two Xboxes hooked up to my TV right now.
Yeah.
I need to add a PlayStation to that. Advanced Warfare Xbox still works perfectly fine.
Now, before we get out of here, you do got Helldivers 2, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you've been playing the Guardian games on Destiny 2. I know you have.
I haven't been playing anything.
But you need to be playing.
Baldur's Gate.
You said, but Baldur's Gate?
I said Baldur's Gate. Yeah, so I'm trying to. I have a couple of romances that I'm trying to bring to fruition.
Okay. Baldur's Gate 3. Hey, listen. I get it. 2024 has definitely been oversaturating us with great games because it's hard to keep up. Like, you got the Guardian games for Destiny 2, right? You have Dragon's Dogma that's coming out like in a few days. You got Rise of the Ronin that's coming out. Yeah, you got Rise of Ronin that comes out the same day. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is already out right now. Helldivers 2 been out for the past month. It's like so many games to play. It's hard to keep up. It's like the backlog is filling. That's all I know. That backlog is up there.
Every time I try to log into Steam, it's like wrong password. Pretty sure this is the only password I used, but I'll figure it out. I mean I was playing Baldur's Gate pretty. I actually started a new character.
Yeah.
After putting 30 hours into the first character I started and still be in Act 1. I haven't progressed. I'm still in Act 1, put over 30 hours into it. But yeah. I started off as a tiefling sorcerer.
Yeah.
But when I play these types of games, I like being a tanky character. And so me having to, throw magic from a distance and not being able to actually engage. Oh, yeah. I'm like, let me try a different character. Let me do a different build. So now I'm playing as a Githyanki fighter.
Okay. Okay.
But she's kind of scrawny, so I might start a different character. I don't know. We'll see.
And the one I use it says for liberty. For liberty. That is from
I wonder if Helldivers will spur another Starship Troopers movie.
Well, the actor from the Starship Troopers, Casper Van Dien, actually was tweeting the president of Arrowhead Studios about how awesome the game is. And I'm not sure how true this is, but there's rumors circling about like some Starship Trooper skins maybe coming. Ooh. Yeah, so it might be, or some voiceovers. I don't know, but I feel like there's some collaborations going on up in there. And we just finished the event where we had to release Termicide in Four Planets. We finished that, and we're right now finishing up the automatons. So there's another big event that's coming. We don't know what it is, but it might be a new enemy, might be new stratagems. Yeah, it's coming. And before we go, yeah, might as well get Dragon's Dogma 2. I'm definitely getting Dragon's Dogma 2. I just wish it was multiplayer. Like, I understand why it's single player. And I understand why we need more single player out in the world. It's just that this particular game, on how awesome it is, it needs to be multiplayer. Just how awesome it is. Because if you're supposed to go to a destination, I don't think you can fast travel. I don't think fast travel is in it. You take a journey to that destination, but you will get sidetracked and you will branch out into other things because it's like an actual adventure. And even though you got NPCs in your party, still yet though. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that is our show for today. And tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And as far as our schedule is concerned, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have our live shows. Whether it's myself and Vivo, whether it's just me, whether it's me and Boogie Blanche. You got anything else for the listeners out there in the world?
No, but check out those announcements in Marvel news.
Yeah, we got some Marvel gems out there. And we will be covering that Marvel stuff on Thursday. So,
yep.
Until next time, y'all.
Peace.